Is that specifically what middle way is the reference to?
The term middle way is pretty broad. It's one of the things. But in that sutta, it's specifically quoted. The Tathagata teaches the Dhamma by the middle way. It is with ignorance as condition that formations come to be. In the Dhammacakka Sutta, the Buddha's first discourse, the middle way is used to refer to the difference between self-indulgence and self-mortification. Trying to find happiness by fulfilling desires, or trying to find happiness by destroying and frustrating desires, and is pointing out that self-mortification and self-denial, self-torture, and self-indulgence, both of those are the extremes, and he teaches the middle way. And in that instance, what he uses to spell out the middle way is the Eightfold Path. And what is that middle way? When we recite the Dhammacakka Sutta, if you look at the translation, what is that middle way that is described by the Tathagata? Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and so on. In that dialogue with Mahakachana, the middle way is described as Paticchasamuppada. In the Dhammacakka Sutta, it's the Eightfold Path. And there's numerous other ways that it spells. It's a very broad term or phrase. Venerable Nyanananda's language is quite refined and hard to follow. Even if English is your first language, it takes a couple of runs through to get exactly what he's pointing to. And most of us probably don't think too much about self-existent nature of the four elements during the course of an ordinary day. But it's pointing out the shift of the Buddha's attention is we can't talk about the world meaningfully other than our experience of the world. And in the next passage, where the Buddha's dialogue with the Deva Rohitasa, that's a key element of that, that when we talk about the world, loka, and he says, what is the world? So the point that he makes is that whereby one is a perceiver of the world and a conceiver of the world, that is what is meant by the world, loka, in this Dhamma discipline. And then what is the means whereby one is a perceiver and a conceiver of the world? The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind. So that what the Buddha's saying, and again, it might seem a bit of a refined or a pedantic issue, but we can't meaningfully talk about the world away from our own experience of the world. And that is, in European philosophy, what would be called a phenomenological approach, that you are not talking about what's really there, the thing in itself, the Ding an sich, I think is the German phrase, thank you. Holger Jesch is also German, so helpful German consultant. The Ding an sich, the thing in itself, but rather the Buddha's approach is, well, it's only meaningful to talk about our experience of what we call the world, rather than trying to talk about a world apart from the mind's experience of it. That's what I feel, as I understand it, what Venerable Nyanananda's highlighting here. The monk who was wondering, where is it that the four great elements see through that remainder? The Buddha shifts the view, like, well, let's not talk about that as the world, but rather where the world cannot find a landing place. That's what's meaningful, that's what's useful, that's what is significant, is that the citta, the heart, can be cultivated to a quality of clarity and non-entanglement, non-grasping, whereby the world and its polarities, long and short, coarse and fine, pure and impure, earth, water, fire and wind, and so on, they're not given a landing place, they're not given a footing, they're not given a false substantiality.